Today, I would like to share with you just a few thoughts about mysterious Melchizedek, the king of Salem, that ancient priest and king of the holy city of Jerusalem. As is recorded in the 14th chapter of the book of Genesis, Abram, later to be renamed by God as Abraham, fought to free his captive nephew Lot, Lot's kith and kin, and a whole array of Lot's allies. The great patriarch, whom our liturgy calls our father in faith, was most obviously a fierce warrior. He decisively defeated in battle four allied kings of the east: Chedor Lo-Omar, the king of Elam; Amraphel, the king of Shinar; Arioch, the king of Eleazar; and Tidal, king of Goim. And as the messianic Psalm 110 would celebrate many centuries later, "The master standing at your right hand will shatter kings on the day of his great wrath. He shall drink from the stream by the wayside, therefore shall he lift up his head." And by the power of the Lord of hosts, victorious Abram did shatter kings. And so Abram, with all his liberated relatives, weighted down with rich booty, marched triumphantly into the valley of Shava, near the holy city of Jerusalem. And then mysterious Melchizedek, also identified as a priest of El Elyon, that is, a priest of the God of gods, marched out of Salem to meet him. Melchizedek was both a priest and a king, but without the customary recorded list of ancestors. Melchizedek brought out bread and wine for the offering, and as the text explicitly states, he said the blessing. He celebrated the priestly rites of thanksgiving. And Abram gave him a tithe of everything he had won in battle. So according to the very first book of the Torah, Melchizedek manifestly possessed a most exalted, royal high priesthood. In the first century of the Christian era, the sacred author of the letter to the Hebrews was to reflect with great insight into the eternal significance of Melchizedek and of those far distant events. The letter to the Hebrews has been compared to ancient Melchizedek himself because this revered text comes to us without a known father or recorded genealogy. While sometimes attributed to St. Paul, its inspired origins are basically unknown. In its style, it begins like a treatise, proceeds like a sermon, and closes like an epistle. In conviction, its reasoned reflections have authoritatively taught the church that the old covenant foreshadows the new covenant, that Christ is superior to Moses, that Christ is superior even to the angels, that Christ is the very Son of God, and that it is the body of Christ, rather than any temple made of stone, that is now humanity's locus of encounter with God. Hebrews also teaches that Christ's one perfect sacrifice on the cross has made perfect an unrepeatable atonement for the sins of the whole world, and that the eternal high priesthood of Jesus Christ, a priesthood according to the order of Melchizedek, both fulfills and far surpasses the priesthood of Aaron. For as the inspired letter points out, Aaron was already in the loins of Abraham, which means the brother of Moses. The Levitical priest Aaron was a direct descendant of the patriarch Abraham, who himself gave tithes to Melchizedek. Now, tithes are only offered from the lesser to the greater. And so the author of Hebrews argues that the priesthood of Melchizedek surpasses in power and authority the priesthood of Aaron. Hebrews again quotes directly from Psalm 110, in which the sweet poet of Israel chants an enthronement hymn. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. These ecstatic words clearly refer to an eternal, messianic high priest who would reign forever and ever. The sacred text prophesizes the priesthood of Christ, and these very same words are joyously repeated at every Catholic ordination to the priesthood of the New Testament. For it is only through the Lord's priesthood that the ordained share in the priesthood of Christ the head, and all the baptized are initiated into the priesthood of the faithful. It is through the power of the sacrament of holy orders that Catholic priests serve in the person of Christ the head according to the order of Melchizedek. Serving a priestly people, Catholic priests are ordained to preach and teach in the name of Christ, to instruct and comfort, to heal and forgive, to bless and sanctify in the name of Christ. And through the same awesome power of the Holy Spirit, priests renew in an unbloody manner Christ's one perfect sacrifice, once offered on the altar of the cross, and this era of grace truly made present as nourishment and sanctification for believers on the altars of the church. And what is celebrated in the miraculous consecration of bread and wine, and also in the effective blessing of oils made holy for ministry, must always signify a redeemed manner of living, that priests and deacons, religious and laity, must strive to embody day after day, year after year, all their lives long. There can never be a contradiction between the authority of office and our manner of life, between what we say and what we do. Today's Holy Gospel, according to Luke, in words once spoken in the synagogue of Nazareth and proclaimed here in the Cathedral Church of Peoria, Jesus offers us his messianic program for serving in the kingdom. Quoting directly from the ringing challenge of the prophet Isaiah, Jesus Christ declares, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Therefore, he has anointed me. He has sent me to bring glad tidings to the poor, to proclaim liberty to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and release to prisoners, to announce a year of favor from the Lord." Clearly, Jesus, our high priest, came to serve, not to be served. And the entire community of his disciples that is made up of the priesthood of the faithful, the ordained ministerial priesthood, is manifestly called to be his servant church. So this local church of Peoria and the Universal Catholic Church gathered throughout the world best honors the Lord Jesus Christ by serving the needs of our neighbors. And for this mission of love, all Christians are anointed at baptism and confirmation for a life of grace and service. And all priests of the New Testament are anointed at their ordination for their office of teaching, governing, sanctifying. The holy oils that we will bless and consecrate today are outward signs of that inward reality. The same transforming power of the Holy Spirit must also radically change our lives and directly inspire our love and daily sustain our service. But it is well to recognize that as once the ancient rites of worship and sanctification in the Old Covenant prefigured the priesthood of Christ, so also does our worship in the New Covenant prefigure the eternal worship of praise and thanksgiving, which will be celebrated with all the saints and angels in the bliss and splendor of an eternal heaven. Jesus is a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. He has his place at the right hand of the throne of divine majesty in heaven. He is the minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle. He has passed through a greater and more perfect tent. He has entered the Holy of Holies. Through the holy sacrifice of the Mass and by our reception of Holy Communion, we are, even now, even today, even here on earth, even at this very liturgy, united with Christ by an everlasting bond in the great sacrament of his love. Jesus is the high priest of the good things that are to come, and his great love must live at the center of the heart of every priest, as in the hearts and souls of the entire assembly of his people. So when a priest elevates the host and the chalice, it is Christ's love that is being lifted up for the adoration of the faithful. And if we had but eyes to see, it is every race and tongue, people and nation, it is continents and oceans, it is the stars of the skies, it is the endless vastness of the universe, it is all things that are made holy by the wondrous love of Christ that we know in the most blessed sacrament. One of the fathers of the church described in the following way his experience of serving at the holy altar of God, of offering the holy sacrifice, of ministering Holy Communion. I know a man who laments his failure to love God as God deserves. Yet he loves God so much that his soul burns with ceaseless longing that God alone may be glorified and that his own being dissolved in self-effacement. This man has no feeling of any self-importance, even when he may receive praise. So deep is his desire to humble himself before the greatness of his Lord that he never thinks of his own dignity. He fulfills his priestly duty by celebrating the divine liturgy. But his intense love for God is an abyss that swallows up any consciousness of his own high office. At the end of time and history, it will be Christ, our eternal high priest, who himself will make perfect the service of his priesthood and the worship of his church. He will offer up in sacrifice all that he has set apart for the honor and praise of God his Father. Creation now groans in hope and expectation, but on that glorious coming day, there will be no more death, no more tears, no more sadness, but instead a new heaven and a new earth. The holy city, the new Jerusalem, will come down from heaven as beautiful as a bride adorned for her husband, and God will live forever in the midst of his people. So today and every day, we must live in expectation of that moment of consummation. The hearts of God's ordained priests and deacons, God's consecrated religious, and God's holy people must be on fire with the Holy Spirit and renewed and transformed in that fire of God's great love. For even now, at this feast of the reconciled, at this feast of faith, at this rich banquet of love, we are made holy by the holy things we shared together and renewed by the sacraments. The entire church, like the most holy chrism, becomes the pleasing fragrance of Christ. So, my brother priests of the New Testament, like Father Abraham, may we be fierce warriors, always ready to battle for the Lord and for those entrusted to our care. Like Melchizedek, the priest of God Most High, that ancient type and symbol of an eternal priesthood, may we be willing sharers in a sacred ministry, faithfully setting before the people a redeeming sacrifice. Like Christ, our head and high priest, may we generously offer up our whole lives for the salvation of the world, steadfast in the vows of our ordination. Remember, you are priests forever, according to the order of Melchizedek.